Good morning. It's beginning to feel like Christmas, isn't it? A lot of cars and busy streets. You know, we went out yesterday. We're just into the city center. We're just going, we're trying to navigate how to get the shortest route to get out, not even to get in anymore. So it's beginning to feel like Christmas, isn't it? And what we often say is that keep Christ at the center of Christmas. But this is important because among the hustle and bustle of Christmas, it is very easy for us to get carried away in the activities of Christmas. I'm not saying that is all bad. However, as believers, we must make sure we remember that Christmas is a celebration of Christ's birth, a fulfillment of God's salvation revealed to mankind. You see, this salvation that is promised by God is what many were waiting for before Christ came. They longed for the Messiah to come and free the world from oppression. Because we know this from passages in the Old Testament that is pointing us to the coming of our Lord. And one of those passages is Psalm 98. And that is our psalm and study this morning. So let's read it. And before we do, and after that, we'll ask God to help us in understanding his words. So if you have your Bible, please turn with me to Psalm 98. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand, his holy hand have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who lives in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. See, Psalm 98 tells us about 3 points to look at. The point that brings joy of Christmas to our heart. Verses 1 to 3, God reveals his salvation. And we see in 4 to 8, a call to celebrate God's salvation that is fulfilled. And the last verse is verse 9. We will note that only true believers know that true joy of Christmas. You see, God used the psalm's word to look forward to time when God's salvation, Jesus, will be revealed. And this happened at the birth of Jesus Christ, which is the first Christmas. Firstly, the birth of Jesus was revealed to Mary and Joseph, that Mary will give birth to a son who will be called Jesus, meaning he will save sinners from sin. Then after the 8 days, in Luke 2, when Mary and Joseph arrived to dedicate our Lord Jesus, Simeon, a man faithful to God, who had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he had seen the Lord Messiah. Through the help of the Holy Spirit, Simeon recognized the work of salvation promised by God has begun. So he took Jesus into his hand and offered a prayer of praise to God. And here is his prayer in Luke 2, 22-24. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servants in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of people to Israel. Also in the same chapter, we read about Anna, the old widow. The Bible tells us that she never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying, and she gave thanks for the revelation of Jesus, who is the redemption of Jerusalem. John the Baptist also reveals that Jesus is the salvation of God. John, seeing Jesus come to him, he cried out, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." So John is pointing us to Jesus as our perfect sacrificial lamb, the one who obediently and out of love shed his blood on his cross for our forgiveness. We also read about God's validation of his Son when God the Father, at the time of Jesus' baptism and at the time of transfiguration, with a clear fatherly word of love and approval, saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Jesus himself confirmed that he is the Messiah when he spoke to the woman at the well. The woman said to Jesus, "I know the Messiah called Christ is coming, and when he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus answered back, declared that, "I, the one speaking to you, I am the Messiah." We've seen all this revelation means that God has fulfilled his promise of coming into our world in human flesh, in person of Jesus, our Savior, our Emmanuel. See, the psalmist expresses the miraculous work of salvation through our Savior, Jesus Christ, the right hand of God, as mentioned in verse 1, Psalm 98. The arm of God and the righteousness of God. Him becoming a human and dwell among us so that he could reveal God, the Father, to us in order for us to be delivered from sin, from the penalty and his power and his mission and his purpose is to return us to God's intimate plans. Have a look at verse 2. It said, "God has made his salvation known and revealed to the nation." This means God's plans of salvation is not just for the Israelites alone, but the Gentiles too. In Simeon's prayer, he mentioned Jesus as light for the Gentiles. No surprise, Christmas is the most celebrated festival all over the world. But the question is, do they know God's plan of salvation? Or why do we need salvation? So, we need salvation because we inherited the sin of Adam and Eve. You see, the Bible declares that everyone has sinned in Romans 3. See, when God created Adam and Eve, they enjoyed a perfect relationship with God until they disobeyed him. They went beyond the boundaries of God's plan and fell into sin. In doing so, dragging all of us, all humanity, into the darkness and eternal death. Look at David's words. He acknowledged by saying, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." And Paul also, in his teaching in Rome, reminds the believers that through Adam, sin entered the world. And so death was passed on to all men because we have all sinned. So there's no doubt we need to be saved from God's judgment. God's judgment over sin is perfectly right because he's a righteous God. He cannot simply overlook sins. But the good news, God would not abandon Adam and Eve to the consequences of their sins. He gifted us with a promise of a cure, the one who will crush the serpent's head in Genesis 3. The psalmist in 98:3 said that God remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of earth have seen the salvation of our God. These words, remember, God remembered, it's not implying forgetfulness on behalf of God. But God always remembers. It is his part of his nature to remember everything. He foreknown. He knows everything. God remembered, mentioning this verse, God is placing an emphasis on his faithfulness and his everlasting care of a cure by coming down in flesh to rescue us from the bondage of sin through Jesus. Jesus was that seed, the offspring of a woman that removed the curse of sin and death placed on all mankind and all nature. He did that by bearing her judgment, the judgment that we all deserved, the sin that was created by Adam and Eve. He did it once and for all on the cross for you and I. First John 4:9 says, in this the love of God was made manifest amongst us, that God sent his only Son into the world so we might live through him. Brothers and sisters, that is Christmas. Verse 1 of Psalm 98 said, it is marvelous, it's wonderful. God, using all his skills, his right hand, muscular, his holiness, for our salvation. There is no better reason to sing a new song. As instructed in the psalm, knowing those marvelous things God has done for our salvation. See, this is not a one-off. Christmas is not something that should just be a one-off. The joy of Christmas should be every day, every time. One commentator said that a new song that we should be singing is a redeeming grace that can never grow old. It can never get out of fashion. Because God's love and mercies are new every morning, and great is God's faithfulness to all of us. So the psalmist commands all creation to join the celebration of Christmas because God has revealed his love for us, his salvation, which is the love that is expressed in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So this invitation is for everyone. In verse 4, it says, he's inviting everyone, all the earth, to joyous praise. He says in verse 4, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth, burst into jubilant song with music. Verse 5 says, make music to the Lord with harp, with the sound of singing. And verse 6, with trumpets and the blast of ram horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. And the other part of the passage, the invitation is not limited to mankind. All nature, all creations join together. The sea roll, the rivers clapping, their hands and the mountains sing joy together. The picture is that all creation, we all come together in the loud worship of our Lord coming into our world. When we make a joyful noise, our salvation is just not a mere noise. It's not just a noise that we just make. It's a bold declaration of God's greatness, His mercy and His love for us. It involves heartfelt expressions of praise. It does not require special talent to make a joyful noise to the Lord. The joyful noise God desires begins within a pure heart that brings honors. So therefore, when we sing our carol this evening, and as we started this morning already, our singing should reflect the joy of Christmas. That is, focus our heart to what God has achieved for us. Our Emmanuel, God with us, the miraculous of incarnation. But not everyone will know this joy, isn't it? Not at all. Because only true believers will know it. See, this Christmas, we're all going to receive one or the other. I don't want to assume everyone will receive Christmas gifts. But I have an idea that I'm going to receive one. Because why? Because they told me I have been a very good boy. But whether you're good or not good, you know, you will receive one for Christmas. That's how it works, isn't it? But the joy of Christmas is not based on being a good person. It's not at all. Because no one, none of us can be good. Only God can be good. None of us can be a good person. Except God. God's Christmas gift is an open gift. His salvation plan is revealed to us in Christ. Nothing required of us. It's free, completely free. It has nothing to do with work or hitting a target or how good you are or how well behaved you are. How good moral you display. Well, that would be useful. But salvation doesn't depend on that. It comes through God's gift of grace. Only God's gift of grace. So if we truly understand what He has achieved for us, and we are sitting here this morning, and we can say in our heart that we have received that gift of grace, why would you not give joyous praise to Him? Why would you not? First Peter 8:9 speaks of joy. It says, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him. And are filled with inexpressible, glorious joy. For you receive the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That's believers. We believe in God through faith. We believe through His words that He has authored for us. And if we don't understand this, then we need to become born again. We need to become born again now by truly repenting and believing in Christ through faith. The Bible says, if you confess your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. because knowing him and recognizing the marvelous things he accomplished for us should encourage us to want to draw near to God with confidence through Christ his Son. Because through Christ, God's intimate relationship broken by Adam and Eve is restored. God wants to walk with us. He wants to talk with us. And he wants to comfort us. Just the way it was before the fall. And even though he's not here now, but he's achieving that for us right now. As our mediator, sitting at the right hand of his Father, his Holy Spirit is within us. For because of what he has achieved for us, we can pray to him, and he's praying for us. This relationship that God desires for us is an open invitation. Because knowing Christ means knowing God. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful words. Knowing Christ means Satan is powerless in our life. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. And Jesus accomplished that destruction through holiness. Adam and Eve were in an all-inclusive, in a paradise environment. They lack nothing. When you talk about all-inclusive, I work in a holiday company. When you say all-inclusive holidays, everything is in it. You ask for it, you have it. Ice cream, coffee, beer, everything you want, everything you need is all paid for, it's all inclusive. And that is what Adam and Eve had. But yet, they fell for sin. But Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. Nothing was offered to him. Yet he did not fall. Through his work on the cross, he destroyed the power of death for us. So knowing Christ means forgiveness of sin. If we know him, because we will be forgiven for our sin, because that is the reason why he came, to seek and to save the lost. That's what the parable of the lost sheep said. And heaven rejoices when sinners are saved. Knowing Christ means we are part of his spiritual family. When we know him, we are adopted into his family. Colin teaches on that from Galatians 4 last Sunday. Through our adoption, we are in a special family relationship with Christ. Remember when Jesus was told that his physical family, his mom and dad family, wanted to see him. He replied, he said, who are my family? Whoever does the will of the Father is my brothers and sister. Also, I also remember the paralytic man that Jesus healed, that came through the roof with the help of his friend. Jesus laid hands on him and forgave him of his sin. And he received an instant adoption into the kingdom of God. There's no interval for God to bring us into his kingdom. It's an instant, and it happens. Christ will return again. For any of us who have received God's great salvation, should praise him every day. And through our transformed lives and the witness of our words, we can be part of his great commission by making God's glorious salvation known to unbelievers, those who don't know him. More reason, Psalm 98:49 is inviting everyone to join the praise and worship before the Lord. Knowing Christ will guarantee eternal life. Because Jesus says, whoever hears my word and believes in him will send Christ to us. He does not come into the judgment, but has crossed over from death. So our eternity is guaranteed in Jesus. However, there's a warning to unbelievers in verse 9. Those that rebel against God, those who refuse to heed into the word of God, there will be judgment, because God will judge the world with righteousness and the people with equity. So as we conclude, I want to encourage you that the birth of Jesus Christ is the eternal reminder to us that God remembered us even when we are yet sinners. And he commands all the world, including us and creation, to sing joyful praise to him for our salvation fulfilled when Jesus was born. Without Christ at the center of our Christmas, our joy and influence is temporary. It's not going to last long. So I encourage you, all of us, during this Christmas, we have a lot to celebrate, yet when we do so, we should remember many people living without the knowledge of the Lord. And we can also pray for ourselves as well, for those who have continued to love the Lord, for our prayer to remain in him until he returns to judge the world.